Good afternoon, St. Louis. DJS on KMOX. Happy Friday. Michael Keller's just asking if that's Queen. Yes, it's my very favorite Queen song.
That's great.
Love it.
Thanks. More subdued than his normal stuff a little bit, right?
Yeah. Wheels will be here in a couple minutes. He is recording an interview with Derek Gould that we will present to you in a couple of hours. You know what? We're thinking about this St. Louis thing all wrong. Maybe we should play up the weirdness of St. Louis. Coming in today, and I'm coming down 14th Street, and right by the bus, train, Amtrak depot there, I see a guy who's walking infinitely slow, and I'm coming up from behind him, and he's like holding his hands out like he's blind, and I start to pull over because I'm thinking there's a blind guy who's just got off an Amtrak and he doesn't know what city he's in. And then as I pull over and I look over at him, he has a COVID mask, but it's just over his eyes.
No.
And swear. And he's dressed all in black COVID mask over his eyes. And he's got his hands out in front of him, feeling his way, evidently for, you know what, and giggles. And
wow.
Then I get up to where the bus stop is. Rach and I walk by it every single day, four blocks. And there is a 75 to 80-year-old white man wearing nothing but blue Hawaiian board surf shorts, not a stitch of clothing other than that, jazzercising for everyone at the bus stop. I swear on my kids, both these things are true. It took 16 seconds to go from the blind guy to sugar daddy. And I was just like, maybe this is what we should do. We should just own it.
Did you see them yo people out there interviewing them all?
Nope. We just said, like, St. Louis, you're not going to believe the SUC.
Yeah.
And come on in.
Here's, though, why it stands out so much. Because every city, I mean, you go to New York, you go to Chicago, there are crazy people, crazy actions just like that. However, there are other people, so it's more of like a Where's Waldo? In St. Louis, Waldo's the only guy on the beach.
It's just you and Waldo. Yeah. That's a good point.
It's just you and Waldo. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Nothing but Waldo's.
Yeah. Book is called Where's You?
Do any of you remember Baton Bob?
Oh, yeah.
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 I don't know what happened to him, but he used to be in the West End all the time spending the baton.
Do you know Baton Bob?
No.
Is it exactly what it sounds
like? Yeah, it sounds like a guy who spins a baton.
Yeah, it sounds like a guy with batons.
Well, he would dress in very flamboyant clothing, but he'd run around and he'd spin this and get in the middle of traffic thinking he was like a cop, directing traffic. Yeah.
I love that.
You could probably Google him. He's had to have been written about.
Yeah. I'll find him. Mm. What happened to Baton Bob?
I'm afraid he passed away. I don't want to put that out there if it's not true, but...
Oh!
Beetle Bob passed away.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Baton Bob is a well-known street...
he's calling
performer.
Right now.
Oh, he's married. He married a local chef.
Huh.
Oh.
It fell on the same day that the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage.
Well, good for them. Good for Baton Bob.
Yeah.
He's living his best life.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, you find your lover, you don't have to spin the baton no more.
That's right.
Maybe hope for me.
Finally found my baton.
Maybe hope for me.
Well, I know how it worked for Baton Bob.
Maybe you're the new Baton Bob. Maybe you passed the baton. That's what it means.
You already lived there.
You quite literally passed the baton.
It's like, if you talked to Michael Kelly recently? No. What's going on with Kelly? He's the new Baton Bob. Michael Kelly, gray hair, real tall.
Baton Bob. You see me out there in my Speedo?
Well, speaking of, there's hope for Kelly. He was, maybe you're going to be embarrassed that I...
No.
So we both spend a lot of time in Forest Park.
Yes, we do.
And he was talking about going on his walk yesterday.
This is true, yesterday.
And he's like... I'm so embarrassed that I'm telling you this story. However, there was this woman, and she just seemed so out of place because she was very, very tall and gorgeous and just looked like a supermodel.
She did.
With her hat, and she was jogging. And I said, oh my gosh, I saw her and I thought the exact same thing. I was like, wow, is this a supermodel? So if there might be a supermodel in here jogging at Forest Park, but I thought the exact, I knew exactly you're talking about.
Well, I'll let you know because I'm going to go here after this to see if I can find her again. I got flowers to take with me this time.
You're going to lose 50 pounds this summer. Well, just out there walking around looking for her.
I don't know if she was pretty enough. I might buy flowers too.
What's your move if you actually run into her?
I wouldn't bother that lady, but I'm telling you, like Amy said, she was so striking that I was like, first of all, she was as tall as me, felt like it. And so I was like, wow. And, you know, so I'm trying to be that guy. Okay, it's been about 30 seconds. I can turn around now. And I'm looking over my shoulder to see.
You know what? Like, you're handsome enough. You could sell the, I'm also a model. You could do like the photo shoots, right?
Don't you ever hear these stories of girls? And I'm sure Amy and
Rachel.
Rachel could tell the stories too.
Thank you, Dave.
Creepers. Yeah, sorry, Rachel. I'm thinking about supermodels
this
right now.
This must be some woman.
No, but I mean, you know that, oh, some guy came up and bothered me and the blah, blah, blah. And you always hear those stories. And I don't ever want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And so even though I saw this lady and people were like, why didn't you go talk to her? I was like, yeah, then you're that guy.
Then you're the next viral video of the guy trying to teach the pro golfer how to do
this. Would you try to sidle up at least?
Yeah, if I ran into her again today, I'd be like, wow, we're in the park at the same time, and she'd probably run away a lot.
I planned it that way.
Oh, fancy meeting you here.
Wow, my friend Amy thinks you're hot, too.
She's a girl. She's normal.
8:47 a.m. on the dot. Again, wow.
And I can't believe I have this bouquet of flowers and a reservation. You know, guys always talk about, you always hear, like, guys are really nervous about asking girls out, right? So I haven't had that experience for obvious reasons. But one time I ran a 5K and this girl beat me. Like I came in second and she beat me and we crossed the finish line. You always say, good job. And she was like really beautiful because you notice when you see really attractive people, she was very beautiful. It's like, wow. And, you know, she beat me in this race and I was like, you know, nice work. And she goes, thanks. Yeah. She goes, I'm trying to get back in shape. I've been on a boat for 6 months. And I was like, oh, why have you been on a boat? She said, well, I fly the F-18. I've been on an aircraft carrier. And then all of a sudden I thought, well, what do I do now?
Right.
What? I'm so intimidated. Is this how guys feel when they have to ask out a girl? Because I just felt so intimidated because she's an F-18 fighter pilot, a fast runner and beautiful. I'm like, well, I feel like a pile of poop.
No.
Wow, that's so cool. I love war.
You know what? Let me be honest with you.
I love blowing stuff up.
Since Rich Gould came on to help to sell his new children's book, I've been jealous, and I've been looking for a story for my first children's book, and I think Amy just gave it to me.
Yeah. I feel like a poop.
I feel like a pile of poop. This is about a young girl named Amy.
You know that there's a book called Everyone Poops. We could do like Everyone Feels Like a Poop sometimes.
No, but she was just, I thought, if I were a guy, how would you even ask someone like that out?
Yeah, you don't.
And you were experiencing
you hide and stare at them from a distance like Mike was describing.
Yeah, you just live a fantasy world afterwards of what it could have been like.
Yeah, and you have like 20 conversations going on in your head like, oh, I should try this. I should say that. No, all right, I'm going away.
You draw pictures of them when you get home.
Come on. It was just a joke.
You had it dialed up pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You just make an effigy out of sticks and marbles.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic sitting there at a little kitchen table.
I'm thinking the art supplies already out.
I'm thinking more like Carrie in that little closet.
It works the other way too, right? Like if you see a guy that's like super hot, like he's the hottest guy in the world, is it hard to approach them too?
Yeah, that's the only thing that explains why I'm not approached more.
I don't think I've ever.
Yeah, just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
But you guys, Rachel and Amy, you had to have been in a grocery store or something where you can see someone's looking at you and they're thinking about coming up to talk to you. And are you like in your own head like, oh, please don't look at me. Go away. I mean, what is going through your heads?
I don't really get approached very much. Usually it's like a worker or something who is like trying to engage with me. And then I'm just super nice because it's like, all right, this is fine. Yeah, like someone working at the store.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't get approached much by just like other civilians ever.
Right.
Civilians. just soldiers.
Civvies.
I don't buy that, by the way.
I know. She's being modest.
She's being modest.
Yeah.
I've seen the type that approach Rach.
Yeah.
I've been with her when it happens.
Uh-huh.
And they're typically dancing and wearing very few clothes on a corner downtown.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right. Okay, Dave's kind of nailing it.
Have you ever been approached by the Schnooks robot? Because I am. I guess like I was in a standoff. I'm like,
I've actually approached the Schnooks robot.
Like, I couldn't help but notice how tall and beautiful you are.
You're very lean.
Anytime I sense that a woman's about to approach me and she doesn't, I'm like, well, she's probably thinking, I don't know, that guy's completely bald. There's no way he's interested in me. And he looks like he's pushing 60. I could never land that. So I'm going to go for someone 38 with a full head of hair. This guy's clearly got some mojo to carry himself with that swag. Welcome back, guys. DGS 122. Happy Friday to you. We're having a good time here at the studio. Mike Kelly's hanging out with us. So, full disclosure, yesterday, Miles Michaelis had pitched to one batter, exactly one batter, and I sent Wheeler a text that was not flattering to Mr. Michaelis. So now Coach and Michaelis hate me.
Yeah.
It turned out to be right, though I wasn't far off. I mean, not a great opener.
No. I mean, like, the first three hitters in the Dodgers lineup are amazing. I mean, they're all three MVPs, right? And when you add up what the three of them make, like their average salary, it's like $140 million just for those three. And the Cardinals' payroll is like $160, $170, you know, not looking at the luxury tax, just the actual payroll. So that's how good those guys are. You have no room for error. You can't make mistakes.
Okay, let me stop you there. Is there any reason a Cardinals fan would not or should not want the Cardinals to spend what the Dodgers do other than worrying about the DeWitt's bank book?
I mean, they can't do it. Like, see, the thing that people, when you're looking at, like, why can the Dodgers do this and why can the Cardinals not? The Dodgers make $800 million a year. That's their revenue. So if their payroll's $300 million and you throw on all these extra taxes and let's just say it's $400 million. They still have $400 million left. If one of these guys that they signed to a big deal bombs out, and let's say Ohtani blows out his elbow again for the third time and he's done for 3 years, they have the money to continue to spend and make up for it. The Cardinals would be crippled by that.
What are you including in that when you say they make $800 million?
That's their attendance. That's local TV money, local radio money, corporate sponsorships,
okay. National
TV money. I mean, like local TV.
Before they divvy up anything nationally.
Right. Local TV alone, their TV revenue alone is probably close to what the Cardinals make total.
Which is what? What do the Cardinals make?
I mean, if I'm looking at what I can kind of divine, they're probably in like the $350, $400 million range, so like half of the Dodgers. Maybe. I don't know that for sure, but they draw a lot of fans, right? I mean, if you're getting 3 million tickets sold, you're making a lot of money. But their local TV money is 1/8 of the Dodgers, 1/7 of the Dodgers,
just because
something
of the market.
And it's actually a good contract. Like, they make good money from their local TV, but the Dodgers make like $400 million from their local TV.
Relatively, we spend more of our like gross national product than they do.
Oh yeah, yeah. Much higher percentage of the total revenue. Yeah, yeah. And their margins are thinner. It's not that they couldn't go more than they do, but if they go more than they do and something goes wrong, they're not gonna have any answer for it. And like the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, a couple others that are in that, they could go as high as they want to go and they're never going to notice that it's not there. I mean, like that, and they're going to pay, like the Dodgers are paying other teams for the privilege of having all these good players, because on top of their payroll, there's a tax that goes on it, and that money gets distributed to the other small revenue, low revenue teams. So you can't spend like that. The argument that they could go more is a fair one. I don't know how much more they could do based on what their revenues are and what their costs are outside of the payroll, right? Because you've got to pay employees. They do pay a mortgage on the stadium. I don't know what that means. And I don't know. We don't have any idea how much money Ballpark Village generates.
So X's and O's of yesterday?
I mean, the better team beat you. That's what happened. I mean, Tyler Glasnow is one of the, I keep saying one of the 10 most talented pitchers on the planet, and it might be higher than that. He might be in the top five or six when he's healthy, and he's healthy. And if you looked at him yesterday, you could see why.
Yeah.
I mean, he's consistently 98 with a curveball nobody can hit. So you, when you're going against that, and then, of course, you're facing the three MVPs at the top of the order, the expectation for this series is let's pray and hope that we can win two out of four.
Do you feel like Michaelis was off, or they were just on, or a little?
No. He even said it. So, I mean, it's easy to repeat. He threw too many fat pitches. He threw too many pitches in the middle of the zone. The ball that Mookie Betts hit out of the ballpark, you cannot throw him a fastball in that location. He will hit it every time. And I'm glad that he acknowledged that too, because you can pitch to those guys, but what you can't do is make any mistakes to those guys. If you make mistakes, they crush it. And, you know, look, it didn't change the outcome of the game, but, you know, there was a mistake made by Ollie yesterday. I mean, I don't know why you've got the infield in the first inning of the first game of the year. You got a runner on third base with one out, and you're playing the infield in like that's the, like it's the ninth inning of a playoff game. And then a ball that should have been an out squeaks through. So not only does the runner on third score, which he probably would have anyway, but if that's a ground out, now it's two outs, nobody on base, and maybe you don't give up another one. Well, Freeman ended up scoring in that inning after getting the single that should have been an out.
Did he address that after the game?
I think so, but I mean, he explained why he did it, because you got Glasnow on the mound, and you feel like every run that you give up could be the run you lose by. But in the first inning of the first game of the year, that's too much.
Not showing a great deal of confidence.
Yeah, that, but also, like, I think it's just overthinking. Like, you can give up a run. What you can't do is give up multiple runs in innings.
Which you did.
And that's what ended up happening. Now, again, that run didn't change the outcome of the game. The Cardinals got three hits. Paul Goldschmidt's the only person that got a hit. They were going to lose that game whether they cut that run off or not because of what happened later on in the game. But it's still like, why? Why would you not understand that the big inning is what beats you? If you look at anything about baseball results, big innings are what win and lose games. One run here and there is not going to kill you. One run allowed in the first inning is not going to kill you.
Is there anything you know as much about that he knows about baseball?
No, it's mind-numbing to sit here and watch him just pull the sound.
You looked a little numb.
I don't think that's what he meant.
He's like, in amazement of watching him.
He's like, no, it's galactically boring.
Yeah, well, you know, it can be.
What's his name? Sam Friedman?
Sam Freed. Altman?
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Bankman-Fried.
SBF.
There you go.
Just go SBF.
He said something that interested me yesterday. He, of course, blew his life up. He was a multi-billionaire and wanted more and committed fraud, and he's going to prison for 25 years. And his quote was, "My useful life is over." Now, I couldn't care less about this guy. You know, you get what you get, don't throw a fit. You take people's billions of people's dollars. But that, what an interesting quote. My useful life is over.
Well,
just for anyone, just like age or been fired or a divorce or like, what an interesting way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of suicide.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing to say, my useful life, but I guess he's going to spend the rest of his...
He's going to be 57 when he gets out if he serves the full 25.
Well, he wasn't that useful to begin with if he'd defrauded.
Yeah, not to the rest
people.
Of us. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's useful to himself.
It's a good point coming from his... Yeah, his,
and that's probably how he's looking at it.
He clearly thought he was.
Yeah.
That's probably how he's looking at it.
What about this one? This is a very common thing you see all over the place, but it just kind of struck me last night that the way we talk about the generations and things used to be so great and la, 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 that you wake up on a sunny Saturday morning at 11 a.m., you slept in because you're 14 years old, and everything that you've lived was a dream. So your wife and child are not real. It's not like you're giving them up. They're just not real. Given everything we've been through personally and as a people and as a species and as a country, if you could go back to being 14 and all of this was just a dream, good or bad, would you embrace it?
Oh, man, it feels exhausting to do it again. I hate to be the one to say it.
Fair point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Fair point.
I mean, like, knowing things. I mean, is everything still going to happen, like COVID? And
No. It could be anything.
Okay.
It could be anything. But it won't be this.
I mean, I would probably take that clean break and, like, okay, like, with all the knowledge I have now, I know which mistakes not to make and all this stuff. But it's still, like, even with the knowledge of, like, you could start over fresh, it still feels exhausting. And that's what I always land on when with thought experiments like this.
Might as well just run this one out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You know, there are too many things to be grateful for. I think it's the whole, like, the cliche of you don't know what you have until it's gone. I mean, we really do complain about a lot and focus on the negatives until you say, okay, well, I'll take an eraser to everything. You lose all of those good times. And especially since there's no guarantee, you could go back.
It could be worse.
Something much worse could happen. No, I mean,
that would be impressive, but if it were worse, just saying.
Yeah. Like, with my mind as it is now, no, I wouldn't change it because the odds are more, I think, at least as likely, if not more likely, that will be worse than what I've had, because what I've had has been pretty good.
I'm explaining my thought experiment poorly. You don't have a choice. It's not like you.
I see what you're saying. So it's happened. You don't get to say yes or no.
It was a dream.
If I was 14, I'd be like, oh, that was a stupid dream. And just go to school. Like, that's how my 14-year-old brain was. But do we get to keep this? Like, it'll stick with you. It's not like a dream where it kind of fades away from it.
No, it's just a dream.
Okay.
But it's going to feel especially real and especially impactful. And I'm just curious whether if that were true, because of all the great things I've had, I think I would probably feel relieved because I'm not giving up Nick and Phoebe because they don't exist. They were in a dream. But all the other stuff that happened, which there's been a lot of bad stuff happen,
yeah.
I would be very much relieved, like, okay, you're only 14. I know what you're going to do.
It's a good point.
I don't want to do it. I hope that's not the case. I don't know. I kind of feel like I've been lucky to this point that if I had to go, you know, that wasn't the case. I can't imagine I'd be this lucky again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
It's a pretty good test of how you like your life.
Yeah, or I mean, it's like also some of it's just what stuff has happened and not happened to you, right? There's only so much you control. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a big part of it, right? The stuff that's out of your control is the big part.
Continuing on a similar vein, everyone hears about stress every day, stress, 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 stress. To what degree do you think maybe we have just made a thing out of this? Certainly, like, there's eating too many donuts, there's drinking too many beers, there's doing anything too much, there can be too much stress. But to what degree you think maybe we have just taken life on this planet and called it stress? Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Life is stress. Stress is life. One doesn't exist without the other. And maybe we have just, it's almost like saying, like, look at him breathing. He just keeps breathing. Like, mm-hmm. Stop that.
Yeah, I read an article, and I think it was in Business Insider the other day, talking about how most adults have no idea how to spend their free time. We all have, like, between 4 and 6 hours of free time every day, and we just spend it watching TV. Whereas, you know, before industrialization, your whole day was just working. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we can talk about stress now, but I don't think we understand what true 24-hour stress is.
Do you guys think that the stress is related to the time to think about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I started to say when Rach was saying that, because I have lived like that. I grew up in the country. I spent my summers. I was at work at 5 a.m. I didn't get home till 9 p.m. I was sunburned every day. I had more disposable cash than I do now. Like, I loved that life. I remember going home being really beat to death, tired because I had worked. And if you said you can have that life now if you want to, I might trade.
Yeah, I get that. I worked on a golf course as a bag boy, you know, bringing out people's golf clubs, wiping them up, and then we get to go play golf and all. It was new. And I loved that. At that time, I remember with my best friend in life at the time, I was like, man, we could do this for the rest of our lives. This is the greatest thing ever. Stress is a weird word to me, though. I understand guilt. I understand love. Stress, I don't. And I spent a lot of time in therapy and all this other stuff. And they, you know, well, you need to try to manage your stress. What does that even mean? How do you manage stress? And what is exactly stress? And how do I control it? because I've got high blood pressure and stuff. And they're like, well, you need to have less stress in your life. Well, how do you do that? You're just living. Mm-hmm. And when this whole thought experiment
yeah,
or
shut
this
down
whole
your company.
Yeah, just this whole idea of you need to have less stress. Well, I don't even know what I would do to have less stress. Because at the end of the day, I'm just living. We're all just living and doing our stuff. And
kind
I guess
of my point. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I do think stress in some ways, the stress that we experience now is a luxury as opposed to we all experience a lot more stress. But centuries ago, everyone experienced a lot more danger, disease and death. And so stress is like constantly saying, well, how happy do I feel in the moment? How content am I? At the same time, devil's advocate, this idea of stress or happiness or contentment does go back centuries. I know nobody likes to talk about faith on the radio, but you know that famous verse, I can do all three things through Christ who strengthens me, and you see it, people climbing mountains. That's not what it's about. If you look at all the preceding verses, it's about contentment in no matter the circumstances. And Paul was in jail, and he's like, I can be content because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this idea of contentment, despite your situation, is something that has been facing humans
as opposed to doing amazing feats.
Right.
Do you guys think that like part of what's, you know, we have this unbelievable brain with unbelievable capacity that winds up playing tricks on us because we don't have to use its full potential. You know, like none of us have to worry about where our next meal's coming. Even homeless people in this country don't really have to worry about where food's going to come from generally. And, you know, we used to have to worry about what was going to eat us and constantly. And so I wonder if it's the idle mind that provides all this stress and whatever else this stuff is.
I also think all of it's how everybody's mind is wired. Combination of nature and nurture. Right. You're wired a certain way, but you're also brought up another way because I hear other people describe stress and things like that. And I don't experience the way I hear it described.
Well, for example, I have everything, but I have OCD. And when I was a kid, it was terrible. Like whatever I thought of, I had to do.
Mm.
And my dad, World War II Joe, was the opposite. He did not suffer fools. And his wife gave birth to a fool. And so I would be sitting at the dinner table, which was the highest stress you get in the Glover family. And I'd be like, what if you just licked the sugar bowl 8 times? Well, I'd do it. And my dad would be like, time for a spanking. But I've seen, I not too long ago saw a story about a woman whose OCD was so bad that when she is driving with her kids, she'll do this. She'll turn around and be like, she'll jiggle their pumpkin seat straps to make sure that they're strapped in. Are you strapped in? Are you strapped in? Okay. Are you strapped? And she did this like literally 60 times on a 5-minute drive.
Ugh.
And my point is, I don't got that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I got some stuff. I used to make faces and shake my head and look like a Jewish polka. But I mean, I didn't have that. I wasn't debilitated to that point. So to your point, yeah, I think everyone's got their own stuff.
Right. And I think you experience stress in a different way. I mean, because obviously there are physical manifestations of stress, but there are other things that can cause high blood pressure or other things that can worsen it. Your diet can do that. How much you're sleeping. Like there are all these things that go in, but your brain is wired. Every one of us's brain is wired a little bit differently from the combination of genetics and life experience.
And I think perspective is a big deal because brain surgery is highly stressful situation. We talk about police officers. Most of their encounters are stressful. SEAL Team 6, it's a stressful situation. Having your in-laws over is stressful. We use the same word, but I think we could all recognize that brain surgery and SEAL Team 6 and having your in-laws over are three different types of stress. And so if you can have perspective and context and not let your emotions dictate how you necessarily respond. You have to remind yourself what you know versus what you feel.
Right.
It can help.
Amy does not dig the jar family. Take me to the 153 DJS. I saw this story. It reminded me of something. There's a Bojangles restaurant in North Carolina that's gone viral because of a typo. Their sign came back wrong, and it says Bojangles. and it made me think, even when, since I was a kid, when you would see a big sign with lit up letters, and one of the letters was off. Mm-hmm. As a kid, 5, 6 years old, I remember thinking, that guy doesn't have it all locked up. I don't want to shop at that JCPenney's because it just says JPenney's, and that guy's letting a lot of stuff fall through the cracks. I'm like 5, 6 years old. Now, what I didn't know is that I was basically seeing my future because the Dave Glover sign is lucky to have 4 lit up at any given time.
It just says love.
It just says G-love.
The one in the office or the one outside your house?
The one in my brain. At any given time, Glover Incorporated.
It's like, today I am Dave Lover. And the other day, you're Dave Glove.
Oh, man. You feel me, though?
Yeah. Totally.
Everyone's got a couple of lights
but
out.
Oh, yeah. And the lights out, that's like the emails are like that, too. If there's a glaring email in a note that someone sends, or excuse me, a glaring error in an email that someone sends, they could be a rocket scientist. You'd be like, look at this guy.
what a doofus. Yeah. What a dope.
I'm like that, too.
And I know I've sent emails with errors in them, but for some reason, it's just like, oh.
I'm a jerk about spelling, and then I have to write or type out the word guarantee or restaurant.
Yes.
And you're like, restaurant.
For the millionth time, and I still can't get it.
Okay, this is, I don't mean to be gross. It's just the impossible to spell word is diarrhea.
Oh, it's been a while.
I know that one pretty well.
You know how to spell it?
I didn't mean that.
Go.
It's D-I-A-R-H-E.
Nope.
No, it's two H's, right?
I don't know. Is it two H's or two R's?
Why are you messing with me?
It's two R's. There's not two H's.
I thought it was four H's and then a Y.
There's not a word in the English language with two H's.
That's what you say. It's like diarrhea.
So it's diarrhea?
I still don't know how to spell restaurant. I'm with you, Glover.
I have to do it like three times
sometimes.
Even the autocorrect.
Yeah, it doesn't give it to you.
I can't get enough of guarantee out there. Because it's like garantor. And my phone's like, I have no freaking idea what you're trying to spell.
No, it's so rude.
Are you trying to spell diarrhea?
I don't know, but it always thinks I'm trying to spell out ducks.
Yeah.